Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Zach Elliott out of San Antonio. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. Glad to be here this morning.
Well, I've never worked with you before personally, so you're going to have to tell me all about all your successes because we need to hear. And we want to start with, if you could, before you were a member, what you were doing and what made you decide to look into real estate.
Yeah, thanks, Del. So I found out about Lifestyles, I guess it was probably back in 2013, and I served in the Navy Reserves at the time with a friend who had just joined. And at that moment, my wife and I were pretty, I was focusing on a career, had a young family, and were kind of more a Dave Ramsey type family at that point in our lives. And then fast forward a couple years later, I saw his success and realized that there was more to it and finally decided to go to a case study in San Antonio. And we joined in 2016 is how we found out about Lifestyles, and that's when we joined.
So you've been a member for quite a while then.
We have, yeah. We've been here in San Antonio. And, you know, originally it was just to find a way to invest outside of the stock market. I had a job at the time that I enjoyed with an oil and gas company as an engineer, and it was great. But I found that sometimes those really attractive bonuses and everything really depend on what the stock price, what the price of oil is. And so I was getting frustrated at sometimes when those would be rewarded, it may be quite less than what you were promised initially. And so we were just looking for real assets and had found out about Lifestyles and liked the idea of being passive investors initially. So that's what got, that's what led us to join in 2016.
So tell us about that journey from being successful employee to making the mental change. How did it come about? Let's walk through it. Where did it start and when did you pick up the baton in 2016? How'd you get in here?
So we started off, we did for about two passive deals a year for 3 or 4 years, and that was kind of our goal at first. But at the same time, I had a mid-level leadership position with my company and was getting kind of frustrated at the internal politics, and there had been several rounds of layoffs that I'd made it through, and I realized was frustrated there, but found that I was becoming more and more interested in apartments and commercial real estate as I continued to attend Lifestyles meetings, got to know other leads, got to know the mentors, and then that kind of led me to get my first lead deal with a 29-unit property. And quickly, you know, after a year or so of that, realized that I wanted to grow in that business and at some point, you know, exit my W-2 day job and become a full-time, you know, lead investor managing apartments. So then the challenge was then to try to navigate a path to be able to do that. You know, when you're used to a certain lifestyle and taking care of your family with a traditional job, making that transition is kind of tough, but it helps with the network we have, you know, within the Lifestyles community, other lead investors, and you can be confident when you're building these businesses and taking over the apartments.
Well, that's an interesting point you make because it really is, if you've got a good job and you're making a lot of money, to transition over is a tough move. What steps did you take to make that move?
So the first thing I did was we had that first 29-unit property, which, of course, with the smaller property, it's nice, but it's not, you know, the income is not enough to, the business is not big enough to do that full time. So then we did that, and then we acquired another property that was 55 units. And a year after that, we had a 124-unit property. And so at that point, you start getting enough scale where you can really, there was enough work for me to leave my job and focus on commercial real estate full time. So, you know, that was really over a span of 3.5 years that we gradually grew our business and were successful enough with those first two deals to pursue a larger property confidently, and really just relying on our network of operations consultants and be able to take over the business and know how to, because, you know, as you grow and scale with those larger properties, there's just a much, you have a lot more moving pieces and you have to have HR department for your employees and taking care of them. Once you get to the large property, right, you've got multiple employees as opposed to the smaller property where you've got some part-time. You're dealing with contractors mostly. So having the other the mentors and operations consultants to rely on is really what allowed us to make that big leap shortly in 2022 when we got our third property.
Well, I see here that you sold the two small ones. Did you take the money out of the small ones and put it in the larger one?
We did, definitely. So we were fortunate to, in hindsight, you know, we knew the market was getting, we didn't know it was near the peak, but in hindsight, it was pretty close. And we took the advice of our mentors and the other investors and decided to exit those when we did. And we rolled that over to our third deal and some of it into our fourth deal as well. So it worked out. You know, you don't know that that's going to be the peak of the market, but we knew it had gone up and it was a good, you know, one of the deals did phenomenally well. We doubled everybody's money in under 3 years. And it really accelerated our business plan with the rent growth that we had following the money that was given out in response to the COVID pandemic. And then the first deal, we exited a little bit early because we felt like the time that feared that maybe pricing may be kind of peaking. And I know some of the advice that we had, you know, not from yourself and from the mentors, you know, in 2021 was that it may be better to take a single or a double right now as opposed to hold on to your original business plan and hold it for a few more years. If you've got some equity to pull out, it may be better to reset for the new market conditions. And that worked out to our favor. So
you got into the 258 unit after the 124. Now I'm assuming these are all lead deals that are syndications?
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. So we got the 258 unit deal last December, and you know it's been a great opportunity. It was purchased from the original owner, and so there was a lot of opportunity for us to do upgrades and really improve the property. And so that's been a great deal, and we're really happy with the performance. You know, we had the road trip there in August, and it was great to we're through the exterior and the major upgrades to the clubhouse and everything, and now we're into our just turning a few units every month as folks move out, and we're real happy with that property.
Let's take it back to the 29 unit. How much money capital did you have to raise to buy this property?
It was just over $900,000. For that first property.
And it's your first deal, and you've been a passive, you've been around, you know some people. How long did it take you to raise that capital?
It was a couple weeks, you know, and I think now there's infrastructure. You know, then we were doing a lot more through emails and different. Now there's it was more face-to-face. Now the network we have, it's great because you get to meet investors, you know, over virtually with all the virtual meetups and stuff we have. I think at that time, though, it was before a lot of that was there, so it was tough, but we did it in a couple weeks. So
okay, let's go up to the 55 unit. How much did you raise for that one?
So that one was $1.5 million, so about, you know, 50% more roughly. And that took like 4 or 5 days, I think, at that point. I think I'd you know, developed more relationships with more folks and been, you know, a proven lead investor, I guess, so went a little bit quicker.
All right. That's fair. You've got some under your belt. You've thrown in a winner. You go on to your second one. Let's talk about the third one now, the 124 unit. How much did you have to raise for that one? How long did it take?
We raised $6 million, and that took about 3 or 4 days to get it all committed and lined up for that one. So it went, you know, again, about the same, roughly the same time, but, you know, four times as much capital to raise in 2022.
Did that amaze you? You could raise that much that quickly?
Oh, absolutely. I was overwhelmed or, you know, blown away and shocked, you know, that it happened that, you know, when you're doing these deals, you're so focused on all the different moving pieces and you're really anxious to get that capital raise funded and committed. But you have so many different plates that you're spinning, you know, with the lenders and banks and all the contractors trying to evaluate the property and get your feasibility done. It was a huge relief, you know, when the funds came in that quickly, you know, for that deal. It was a shock.
It seems like it. So you then just a year later, purchased the 258 units. How much did you have to raise for that one?
So for that one, we raised $12 million, and that one did take longer. You know, we did the capital raise the toughest time of the year there during the holidays, you know, from between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But, you know, again, with the group that we have, we were able to get it done. And I think a lot of it was, as you tell people about the deal and the story, and show them the number, you know, reflect your story, how it shows up in the assumptions you're making in your business plan, and could see that there's some opportunity there just with the property. It really just needed some, the seller had done a great job with the property, but they just had it for so long, they weren't willing to put the capital that was needed to, you know, make it more refreshed. And so they had more than executed their business plan. And so I was able to get enough folks on board and kind of doubled the capital again for that deal. So
it's an amazing amount of capital, over $20 million you've raised, and done it in a short period of time, and did it during really the back end of COVID. I mean, when the world was in all kinds of shambles. So that's really good. Let's talk now about what you did to turn the 124 and the 258 around. What did you do? Were these value plays or were these yield plays?
They were value plays. And so for really a similar plan for both properties, you know, at the 124 unit, they had the upgrades that they had been doing were nothing like what most of us do with lifestyles. Or when you shop the competition, you realize, like, well, if I want to get this higher rent, you go look at the properties nearby and see, well, they're getting this rent and they're doing these amenities, these upgrades. So we execute a similar plan and just put into appliance package, modern paint tones, and cabinet refresh, you know, where you paint the boxes of the cabinets, put in new cabinet doors and modern fixtures, fans, ceiling fans, and everything to make it more reflect what's popular now, not what was popular 10 or 15 years ago. And so that had a similar plan at both properties. So we did that at Hidden Oaks, and then we're doing a similar upgrade over at the 258 unit property as well.
So how many of the 124 units have you turned into this new look?
We've done about 60%. So we have... Now we have a kind of two levels of upgrade that we've started doing recently as of this year. And so we have our, you know, over half of them are the upgraded with the stainless steel appliances and every fully upgraded. And then we have another remaining 40% that are partially upgraded with new appliance package. And then we have the maybe about 10% or so of folks that have just lived there a long time and are happy with their classic unit and don't want to move.
Yeah, I understand. All right, let's go over to the 258 unit. How many of those have you turned since December 23?
Yeah, so for that property, you know, in under a year, we've done about 56 apartments, I think, as of this week. So, you know, about 20%. And the previous owner had done about 20% with their level of upgrade. It's not quite to the level that we're doing, you know, but so we're getting closer and closer towards, you know, half the property being upgraded to some level. You know, ours is a little bit nicer. We're putting in new appliances and six panel doors, upgrading the cabinets, and really making it look similar to some of the new product that's being built in the submarket. And we don't have to charge as high a rent, you know, but we have a very comparable product. And I would argue a little bit better location as well. So than some of the newer stuff that's being built a little bit further outside of San Antonio. So
the good old method of best product, best price still works, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So as we look at this here, I'm going to take a break with you for a minute. And when we come back, let's talk about how much those increases in rent were as you moved from your classic to your medium upgrade to your top end upgrade, and what you learned by going through that. Because every time I do it, I learn something about the market itself, what I can and can't get away with. There's a lot there. So we'll take a short break. Be right back with Zach Elliott and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments. Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Zach Elliott out of San Antonio. We were discussing two of the properties he is currently managing, 124 unit, a 258 unit. And as we come back here, Zach, let's go to the 258 unit. How do you classify this property for everybody on the radio?
Classify it as a Class A, you know, after, as you, we discussed it at the road trip in August, but with the changes we made, and I think there are, I recall from one of the expos you mentioning that the residents will often help be a clue, you know, that are at the property, and then also how they take care of it. But all, a few things about that property that are unique to the other properties I've owned is that, you know, it has 9-foot ceilings. It has more of an open style. Some of the floor plans are the open style floor plans, which are similar to what they're building now, whereas a lot of the stuff built in the 80s, you know, they have 8-foot ceilings and things that are really, you just can't change without spending a whole lot of money. They're difficult to do. So I think that allowed us to do upgrades and similar finish outs to what they're building, you know, in some of these new construction properties, that you can mimic that and then really have, you know, beat them on price, but offer a very similar product for residents.
So for people listening out there, what he is explaining to you is something that I think needs a little more in-depth review. Just the fact that most times people say they're going to reposition a property and they want to take a B and turn it into an A. The problem is they're in a B neighborhood and the clientele is only going to be B, and you can't draw A people into B neighborhoods. But this is an interesting phenomenon. He had a B property that actually had some structural components that matched the A's that were being built in the area. And because it was an A neighborhood and a B within an A, and he had the structural components, as he's speaking about, available, he was able to take this thing from a B to an A. And I've never seen a B become an A before, to be honest with you. It was a beautiful thing to see. The other thing I thought was interesting about this was that we were increasing the rents as we go through and we improve the product, right? We're bringing our rents up closer to the Class A's. In this particular case, we want to go over, if you could, how much the rent increased as you did the different types of upgrades.
Yes. So for our one bedrooms, you know, our smaller floor plans, we're getting between $100 and $150 a month. Some of that variance depends on, you know, where is it on the property, first floor, upper floor, some overlook the pool or have a better view than other units, you know, but usually $100 to $150 on the smaller floor plans.
For people that don't know what we're talking about, that's $150 more than what you were getting before. So how much were you getting before? How much are you getting now?
Yeah, so we're getting under $1,000, you know, close to $900 before, and we're over $1,000 on a month on our one bedrooms right now.
And how many square foot is that?
About 650.
All right. So if we go over here and we go to 1,050 unit divided by six, how many square feet did you say? 650?
650, yes.
Well, that's small units too.
And that's a smaller one bedroom or average one bedroom size.
It's $1.60 a square foot. So you're definitely getting Class A rents on the bottom end of them. So that's good. What were you getting on the other ones?
So our two bedrooms, which we'll call those about 850 square feet on average, you know, we have a couple floor plans, but the average is about 850. And those we're getting $150 to $200 more. You know, the larger floor plans, you know, the 200 and the 150 on the smaller two-bedroom floor plans.
So we're looking at this situation. This was really what I was able to use your property for as an explanation of, is that you've got a product here that is going to stay relevant for at least 20 more years. If you've got Class A's all around you, they got 20 good years in them. So you've got 20 good years of operation before this thing becomes old, dated, Class B, throw it out the door type thing, but still operable, but not at the same level it is. So the next thing you look at is, okay, every time you renovate a unit and you lease it up, the cost of that unit, once it's rented, is done. I mean, the overhead is there. It's there no matter what. You're going to have to pay the overhead. But once you lease up all the units, then the income only can go up from there as long as you don't have a rent decrease. which would be a terrible economy, which can happen. But in this particular case, you're getting rent increases. So now, the beauty of that, and this is what I really thought was interesting about Zach's deal, is that he's done total, how many units? You say 60 units so far?
Yeah, I'm just shy of 60 for mine, and the previous seller did about, so we have, we're getting close to 100 units, you know, that are upgraded at the property.
Okay. So we're coming up on a year now, and you've got 100 out of 258. The point I made when I was there, you were only at about 60 or so at the time, was you've got 2 or 3 years you can keep improving these things. Because if you're only knocking out X per month because people are only moving out by that rate, you're going to be able to increase that rent. And it's not because you're expecting rents to go up in the neighborhood. You're not expecting that the economy is going to make it such that you just automatically get the rent increases. You're forcing the rent increases by upping the quality of each unit. And if you can continue to do that, you can continue to increase the value. Now, let's take a hack here if we can. And I say hack because we're putting numbers on paper and making them say something to us. But based on what you bought it on and based on what it would be worth today, because you've increased it to an A, so your cap rate has got to be as good or better than it was at buying it. And you also have more income now. So let's talk about what you paid for it and what do you think it's worth today.
Yeah, you know, so we're just under 25, is, you know, when we purchased, $25 million. And, you know, I would think, man, I hate doing math in public, Dell, but I think, you know, we're probably, you know, $4 or $5 million more than that now, based on the value that we've created now, you know, off of the most recent financials. So, you know, my goal would be to continue to turn these units and keep the occupancy in the mid-90s as best we can, and then look to take a supplemental loan out sometime in the next year.
Okay. So you said you raised how much for this one?
12.
12 million?
12 million. Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at a paper gain, not a realized gain. We haven't done anything to get it yet. But from strictly the income and the NOI calculations, we're thinking maybe 4 million on 12 million, which would be, what would that be, 30%?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, 30% increase. What about cash flow? Does it cash flow?
So we'll be doing our first distribution in January, you know, after that first year's up. And so we're looking around 5% initially.
Okay. All right. So we got about 35% in the first year. It's not a bad return. I would be happy with that. Zach, as we go here, I want to take us down a different path, and let's talk about a couple. Let's talk about you personally and your family benefiting from this in any way, shape, or form. I see that you've elected to go head on into this and turn this into your career, as opposed to the job you had before. How long and where? At what point were you able to let the other job go and make this full time?
That's a good question, Dale. So in 2022. I was finally laid off from my company, and I transitioned over to a position that had the ability to work remote, paid significantly less, but, you know, I had some income coming in from my two smaller properties. So we were able to, you know, I had a generous severance. So we saved that, and we're able to put that into my third deal. And then I took a job that worked remote and had more flexibility. So I was able to focus more on the properties and looking for a third deal. Once we found that deal, then I was able to walk away from that other job and completely focus on real estate full time. And really, it's just the flexibility that it offers is just great. It's definitely hard work, but a lot of it I can schedule around my family activities, commitments. I take my daughter to school every day. I volunteer with my kids, Cub Scouts, and help coach some of their teams, things that before were really difficult to do because I would have to travel down to the oil patch every day and didn't always know how long my day was going to be.
So you're saying even though that you have a new full-time career, it's less onerous on your lifestyle?
Absolutely. So I can do the hours when I want. You know, obviously when you take over a project, right, there's a lot going on, especially that first 3 to 9 months, kind of depending on what all you're doing at the property, where it can be pretty hectic. But it's nice to be able to schedule my time and meet with contractors, vendors, the staff at the property, around the things that are important to me. You know, so if that means taking my kids to school or helping out with a doctor appointment or whatever it may be, I have the flexibility to do that. And so it's still work, but it's around my lifestyle. And you know, being your own boss is great, and I'm really enjoy the change in flexibility I had that I never had in my other previous careers.
How lucky or effective has it been to have the 8 passive deals? Are you making any money from those also or not?
Oh, absolutely. And especially that's what really, you know, I think it was 2016, 17, 18, you know, we did a couple deals a year. And then after 2 or 3 years, you have years where a couple of those will sell and you'll have big gains. You know, the cash flow is great, but for me, I was most concerned with just the equities to growing quickly so we could put that into either more passive deals in the future, or in our case, we ended up, that was the original plan, but we ended up using them for some of our own, the capital for some of our own lead deals. And so once you have, you know, if you're doing a couple deals a year at least, then they kind of start snowballing on top of each other. And so that allowed us to accelerate our lead as lead investors, but also just gave me more capital to put into deal my own deals.
So I know you said you don't like to do, you know, math in public, but just in general sense, what has happened to your net worth since you started investing in real estate?
Oh, it's more than doubled. So since we started in 2016, and that happened in less than 5 years.
What are you going to do now?
So now my plan is, you know, these two properties really focus on operations and have them positioned as a, you know, they're cash flowing and doing well, but we're keep them at high occupancy so that as the market turns, you know, we can refinance or sell at the right time and have the property positioned, you know, for when that market turns and the opportunity presents itself. And then want to be looking for, you know, another deal in the future. You know, I guess my goal over the next 4 or 5 years would be to get to maybe four larger, you know, 200 unit-ish properties and kind of hone, you know, stay at that. I think that's, for me, that would be the goal and over the long term. And also my kids are between the ages of 6 and 12, so I want to be able to start getting them involved in the business, be familiar with it, and ultimately they'll be able to choose, you know. My plan is to get them educated and then let them decide how much they want to be involved with it, you know, as they get older. But I want them to at least have an IQ for what we do and how we run our businesses.
Speaking of friends and family, you took a big leap from an engineering job into entrepreneurial opportunity. What were the kinds of responses you got from your friends, your work acquaintances, your family? All the way around the board, what kind of responses did you get? That's always interesting to me.
Yeah, initially, it was really those first two properties that I think kind of turned the most heads. That once I had sold those and people saw the success and was buying a third property, well, then it kind of it didn't question folks as much, I think. But those first few properties were the ones that, like, really, you already have this busy job, and now you want to go and take on another hobby is what I felt like they thought it was. And then fast forward a couple years later, when you've sold those and done really well and you're continuing to grow your business, then it seemed like the natural progression, I think, at that point. So at first it was, they were questioning why I was taking on more, you know, if you're already busy with a family and a demanding job, and now you're going to take on these small properties as well. And, but after they saw the success, it made more sense.
It always does in the end, right?
Yep.
It's the old 10,000 hours of success, you know. I was successful right after I put in 10,000 hours to accomplish it. So that's the way it is in this world. But, man, I would really think you're doing a great job and really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. I look forward to following this particular story. How's the 124? Are you going to hang on to it also?
Yeah, you know, so we've got a bank loan with another 3 years on the term. So, you know, I think the goal will be to refinance or sell as things improve. You know, it's cash flowing, but I think that we're better off waiting for the market conditions to improve to sell down the road.
Okay. Well, very glad you came on the show with us today. I'm very happy you took us on a road trip. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.